This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Quarantine. Hope you guys are all hanging in. I know it's tough, but we have each other. We have wrestling, old wrestling, and WWE, because WWE is now an essential service, according to the governor of Florida, which, God bless Vince McMahon, that carny motherfucker. We have old wrestling to go to. Again, go to iwtv.live. If you want to watch some old independent wrestling, that's how I've been passing the time. Some old GCW shows went up there. Got to watch myself sit in front row at Bloodsport. That was a blast. Got to watch the last year's WrestleMania AIW show. That was a fun show to watch. There's some good stuff on there. And if you want to dive into independent wrestling, that's a good place to start, is IWTV. So that would be my advice for you guys. But I want to bring on an independent wrestler of some renown right now, known both for his in-ring work and for his wonderful personality and his brain. This guy comes up with some ideas that you just can't believe, and this guy has lived a life. You may not have heard of him, but he's going to be someone to come up on the scene. I want to welcome Bradley Prescott IV, BP4, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, definitely, man. Definitely. You're one I've wanted to have for a while here, because you got some stories, man.
Hey, I'm just living a life, man.
You are certainly living a life. You are the natty daddy. Are you currently enjoying a natter day at the moment?
I am having a natter day, a 16-ounce boy. Got to get those slightly tall, yet not the tall boys.
Living the gimmick. BP4, where'd you grow up?
So, originally, I grew up over in Illinois, toward the St. Louis side of things, hence my love for natural light. It's brewed by Anheuser-Busch. Honestly, I was basically raised by Anheuser-Busch, because I'm from the Illinois side of St. Louis, like I said, and every field trip had to do with beer, starting at a young age. We were taken to Busch Stadium all the time. We were taken to Grant's Farm, which is where the Clydesdales are held. We were taken to the St. Louis City Museum. That place was awesome. I don't think it technically has anything to do with Anheuser-Busch, but that place just deserves
probably
to be
secretly
known.
Funded by it.
Yes, but if you've never been to the City Museum, anybody who's listening, or you, you should go. It is a, like, 15-story tall interactive museum that's basically just a giant playground.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, it's super awesome. And also, the St. Louis Zoo is free because huge donations from Anheuser-Busch. Obviously, they promote their Bud Light and Budweiser products a little bit more there. But still, like I said, being made natural light was always the go-to for, you know, friends and family, because it's the cheap yet very delicious beer that gets you through every occasion. And now, as they've evolved throughout the times, they also have created other awesome products. This is not an ad, but I mean, the Natter Days, like we just talked about, are fire. They just came out with a new flavor of their seltzer. They have the strawberry kiwi now, which brings them up to 3 flavors of seltzer, and I think those are awesome too.
I remember I went to college in Florida, and Natty Light was literally cheaper than Poland Spring.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
And it was economy drinking. It was fantastic. We would always serve it at parties.
That's all you ever need. I actually wrestled a frat show recently, and if I can find anybody to run more of those, that's what we need in this world, are more fraternity shows. And we got into a party afterwards, and it was just literally a mountain of natural light in Natterdays, and my life was complete at that point. I figured if I never made it to the Fed, I've made it at this point.
So you had an interesting childhood. You exhibited preternatural talents that most of us don't exhibit. Please explain.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're hinting at my puppetry abilities.
Yes.
Starting in about fourth grade, I joined, it was my church at the time's puppetry team.
They had a team, by the way.
Yes, yes. There was a group of us. They were called the Miniature Ministers.
Amazing.
And, right? We traveled from churches, and we did non-denominational shows as well. Performing puppetry to spread the gospel and just spread, you know, goodness in the world. And I was one of the higher tier performers on the team. Every year we would go to, with lack of better term, clown school, where they would teach you different skills, be it more advanced puppetry techniques. I did take a ventriloquism class, but I wasn't very good at it, honestly. They taught you how to juggle there. They taught you how to poi balls with like a string and a tennis ball, because if you haven't seen it before, it's basically fire twirling with a fireball on a string.
That's the thing in Hawaii, right? Where they like twist, do the fire stick thing, basically?
Yeah, they have the actual sticks, and then they have like the ones on string.
Oh, man.
And it's super cool, but obviously they're not going to let, you know, 11, 12, however old you are in fourth, fifth grade. They're not going to let children that age play with fire. I mean, I would have, but they didn't allow it.
You certainly would have. I know you. You certainly would have.
Oh, I was a little pyro too. Don't worry. And what else? They also had balloon animals. I could probably maybe make a dog. But a lot of brain cells have died since then, so I don't know if I could pull it off. If you gave me like 10 balloons in 2 hours, definitely could. And then basically at the end, they chose 50 of the, I want to call us competitors, 50 of the puppeteers to basically be in a competition to see who the best puppeteer is. And it started out groups of six. You would go behind stage and you would go up and they would play a random song. And you would have to lip sync to it with your puppet. And you would have to, you know, lip sync it as close to possible while being, you know, dancing and interactive with the crowd that you can't even see because you're behind a curtain. And every round they knock out a couple people, only take about two to the next round. And I end up making it to about the top four or five in that. So I can say I'm a nationally ranked, maybe even world ranked puppeteer.
Amazing.
From whatever governing body that was.
The PCAA.
Probably.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's the best story I've heard on this podcast, is that you're a nationally ranked puppeteer.
Yeah, and you got to obviously bring your own puppet on stage.
Who was your puppet?
I had a couple of them. It's similar to wrestling characters. You kind of make it up as you go. My personal favorite was named Ham Hawk, and he was a pig that just wanted to be a superhero.
Amazing.
But he was, you know, not able to be a superhero because he's a pig. But that's okay. But the one I did for the competition, I don't even remember his name. He was just a generic white meat baby face number one puppet who's, you know, getting the crowd behind him. And obviously it worked enough to get me up to the final five.
So the other skills you picked up, do you use any of those other skills in your day-to-day life anymore? Like, do you randomly just start juggling, or do you ever attempt ventriloquism, you know, in your daily life anymore? Are any of these skills transferable?
I juggle beers, sometimes even during a match.
Fantastic.
If I could ever find someone with poi balls, I would try and do that again. I don't know if I could, you know, see if I have that skill retained. I can still make a mean snake for a balloon animal, so if anybody ever needs those, I can put them at my merch table if needed. But yeah, I think I've been tempted to buy a custom Bradley Prescott the Fourth puppet just so I could have one. And I want to recreate the old show Crank Yankers with wrestling stories and the puppet.
Now, what is the road like for puppeteer troops? Is it a lot like being on the road for wrestling? Because those Christian puppeteer troop, road stories have to be wild.
Definitely. It was a little smaller scale because we were a lot younger. But, we were still taking about four-hour trips, which that's more than even some professional wrestlers do.
This is factual.
We weren't just 40-milers. We still made the towns, brother. And it was definitely an adventure because it was just usually two minivans with, four adults and then just upwards of 8 to 12 screaming, 11 to 12 up to like 15-year-old children, all basically working on their characters in the back or watching videos or being obnoxious. This was all around the time of like Charlie the Unicorn and whatever his name was, and just us being obnoxious as all can get.
So was wrestling, in the running for your loves as well, or was wrestling something you later picked up?
It was probably right around that time as well. I remember my full love for wrestling definitely started, 2003, 2004, whatever year WrestleMania 20 was. That was the first pay-per-view that I didn't watch live, but my dad got a VHS from his buddy who recorded it. Don't tell Vince. And after they recorded the pay-per-view, I got it the next day. And that's, when John Cena won his first title.
Yeah.
It was the Eddie and the Crispin story. It was, Jericho and Christian fighting over Trish Stratus. And I think it was also Kane and Undertaker when we got Old Taker back. And it was just such a great storied WrestleMania that I think it's, for lack of better terms, probably the best WrestleMania from my generation. Everybody, talks about WrestleManias prior when they're a little bit older, and then...
Yeah, I'm much older than you. So for me, it was like 6 with Hogan and the Warrior and stuff like that, but I'm much older than you, so...
So for that age group, but I talk to a lot of guys right around my age, and all of them say WrestleMania 20 is the go-to for... That was the WrestleMania that got them hooked. And it's the same with me.
Now, who were your guys with wrestling? Like, was it like Jericho and Christian, or was it like Guerrero, or like who were the guys you gravitated towards?
Definitely Thugonomic Cena was very top tier for me. I still have a little resentment towards my father because I remember Raw was coming to St. Louis, and I wanted to go really badly. And my dad was like, hey, it's not worth us going. Cena's not even going to be there. You really just want to see Cena. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I'm watching Raw that night in St. Louis on TV. And Cena's music hits and he comes out wearing the Spirit of St. Louis jersey. Yep. And it's the night he got traded over to Raw. And that broke my heart a little bit.
Now, were you playing other sports as well as a kid, or was it just puppeteering and wrestling?
So very athletic childhood. I played just about every sport I physically could, minus basketball because I'm not short, or I'm not tall. I am short, sitting at about 5'10". Obviously, not bound for a career in professional basketball.
You're a point guard.
That was my other problem. I preferred to play big man positions. So I was trying to, be the power forward or, just the guard in general and try and do nothing but get rebounds and dunk. And as dunking did end up happening by the senior year.
You dunked, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But, taking on an actual 6'6 guy is not going to fare well for me. And, I'm not a strong shooter or a ball handler, so I'm no Steve Nash, who is still even, 6'5". But I played, baseball all the way up till high school. I ran track. I was a state pole vaulter.
You were pole vaulter?
Yes. I ran with a really long stick, and I shoved it in the ground and hoped for the best. I was an all-conference football player, and then I was a world-caliber cheerleader. So cheerleading was the sport that I actually pursued after high school. I ended up getting, like I said, to get to go onto a world stage down in Disney and compete against the world's best cheerleading talents. I think we ended up getting like 26th overall, so we didn't do that great, but to be there was an accomplishment in itself.
Now, were you a base as a cheerleader, or were you like doing flips and stuff like that? What is competitive cheerleading like for BP4?
Yeah, so I did a little bit of the tumbling aspect, but I was more of a like powerhouse base. I did a lot of me and a girl stunting. So it was my job to throw another human above my head and do really dumb stuff, whereas other people, you know, have two or three people underneath the girl. It was just me. So I'm over here launching this little girl up in the air, and, you know, keeping life above my head, hoping for the best. But then I still got to do cool flips and shit. So that's a definite perk.
What is the world of national competitive cheerleading like? Because I've heard, my daughter isn't old enough, but that is the one sport I hope she doesn't pick up, just because I've heard cheer parents are the worst. I can't imagine, you know, in your late teens and 20s, you know, being in national competitive cheer. That has to be the most psycho of psycho people.
Yeah, it definitely was. There were a lot of psycho parents. But, you know, there were a lot of good parents, too. Enough to where, you know, I'd tell some of the other girls I wouldn't expect them to call me dad right away. But eventually, I think we could work up to it. but, no, there is definitely a lot of crazy moms in that world. I've seen some pretty messed up stuff and some pretty messed up injuries too. But even when the injuries aren't that severe, I definitely see the claws come out.
Oh yeah, I can imagine, because like, I mean, they're banking everything on this cheer career, basically, to like get into college and stuff like that, right? I mean, that's like, they see it as their meal ticket, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've seen girls go from the age of about 8-9 all the way to the college level, and I mean, like you said, they put everything into it trying to get into their top level schools, be it University of Kentucky, the junior college of Navarro, which is actually the Netflix show Cheer. It's their school that they show on that show. Alabama's another real big one, and it's kind of funny yet very sad to see a girl, you know, not make it to that dream school after 15 years of pursuing. But that's when you really get to see the moms go crazy when, you know, well, why didn't my daughter make it on that team? We've been doing this for X number of years. Well, sorry, your daughter just wasn't good.
Shit. So what is it like as a guy? I mean, because your hormones have to be raging. You're around pretty girls. And it's what, 90% female, right?
Yep. Definitely. It was an adventure. some of them
and
were
you're
like
a good looking guy.
Some of them were like my sister. Most of them were like my sisters. Mm-hmm. Some of them would try and jump on you. Others would stay away. And it was, you know, a very dangerous road to walk. But realistically, they were pretty good overall. I kept my boundaries, for, you know, I also coached at the gym that I worked or that I cheered at. So I think if I dipped my toes in the wrong pool, that would be really dangerous. So I definitely stayed away towards the later years.
So at what point does training for wrestling come into play? And at what point do you decide that wrestling is the path you want to take?
Yeah, so I, like many people, obviously wanted to become a professional wrestler. And I kept putting it off. I remember back, had to have been probably 2016, maybe 2017, I decided I wanted to be a professional wrestler. So I slid into Colt Cabana's DMs, expecting not to get a reply.
As one does.
Like, I was like, hey, man, I live in Indianapolis, and I want to become a professional wrestler. Where do I go train? And he told me School of Rock. And I looked up School of Rock, and I think I even messaged them, and they messaged back and told me they had shut down. It had to have been right after they shut down. So I was like, all
this
right.
This is Billy Rock's school.
Correct. So his school had just recently shut down. So that was...
And Billy Rock's school has trained all of your favorite Indiana wrestlers. Trip Cassidy, who else?
Ruby Riott, mm-hmm. Sage Phillips, Percy. The list goes on and on, basically, with School of Rock. Mance Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Dale Patricks.
Basically anyone who's come out of Indiana.
Yes.
Over the last few years, come out of Billy Rock School. And Billy Rock is a Mike Quackenbush trainee. So it's very, a lot of those guys who seem like they have that Chikara influence, they do because they train with Billy Rock.
Correct. And I mean, even a lot of the today's people who didn't train with Billy Rock get a lot of his influence through Tripp, through yeah. Percy, through Mance. Everybody who came through him is basically the learning tree of Billy Rock, because I credit a lot to Tripp Cassidy. I mean, he taught me a lot of cool, different little things, and I would have never learned it if it weren't for him, and he got a lot through Billy, so it's definitely a cool tree that has just grown.
So where'd you end up going?
So after that, I ended up reaching out to Congo Kong, had a school, actually.
Love me some Congo Kong.
Up in, I think it's Lafayette, mm-hmm. is where it was at the time. And at the same time, I end up getting a promotion at my job, which wouldn't allow me to drive 2.5 hours each way 3 days a week, because I lived pretty far from Congo School, obviously. So I ended up waiting on that, and I just kept waiting and waiting and realized that, you know, I can sit here waiting my whole life and die with the regret of never trying to be a professional wrestler, or I can just go with it, and if I suck at it or absolutely hate it, I can just quit. There's nothing tying me to having to be a professional wrestler. I don't have a contract going in. I don't have anything. So why not try it and see what happens? So I was about to reach out to Congo again. And that was after CZW for a short time had a school in Indiana. But they also closed down. It was, like Scotty Vortex, Drake Younger. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
All those guys, I think. And then I was just scrolling through Instagram one day, and through pure serendipity, I saw a post from Jonathan Wolf, and he did something. So I shot him a DM, and I was like, hey, man, where should I get trained? Does the place in this video train people? He's like, yeah, show up Friday at this time and ask for Don Basher. So I show up. I watch the show. The first WCWO show I ever watched was had the likes of Calvin Tankman. Jonathan was obviously on there. The main event of the show was Sean Kemp versus Dale Patricks. Very, very different kind of match. But after that, I asked for Don Basher, went in, talked to him for a bit. Then that started my training at WCWO. And then, like I said, I credit a lot to Tripp Cassidy of, you know, giving me those little finishing touches and the actual nuances and everything like that of professional wrestling.
Now, your background probably had to help, too, because with the puppeteering, you had that performing in front of a crowd aspect, and with the cheerleading, you had the athletic aspect as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that helped me a lot. Anywhere from, you know, just taking front bumps for the first time, you know, they described it to me, and I was like, yeah, just do a front flip and land on your back. So I think I picked up decently quickly on, you know, some of those little things, while still, you know, having the challenges of smashing your body against ropes and boards and plywood and beams and everything like that and hoping for the best. Definitely after my first practice, we just ran ropes for almost 2 hours straight. I had a giant welt on my ass.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's rough.
So the Indianapolis scene is strong, and it's strong with a lot of young guys. There's the IFHY guys, and there's the Lost Boys. If you're not familiar with these groups, you really should be, because they're kind of the up-and-coming next generation of independent wrestling. You fell in with the Lost Boys, and obviously you're close to the IFHY guys as well. Talk about those, I guess I'd call them families. Talk about the closeness of those groups and, you know, the Indianapolis scene.
Yeah, so basically we talk about, we, like you said, we're basically families. We even have a 23andMe family tree. It's somewhere. I'll try and get someone to repost it. And basically it's, you know, the Lost Boys are a family. Our leader is Mouse, the photographer of, you know, greater Indianapolis area / southern Indiana / wherever anybody pays him to go. And then IFHY are basically our cousins, through, you know, long family tree. And then, you know,
that's Jonathan Wolf and Sean Kemp and Alley Cat and whoever else.
Billy Starks. Cole, I guess, sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Matrix is definitely the best member of IFHY.
I love me some Tyler Matrix.
He's the best. And whoever else they feel like putting in that day. But they're in our family tree. We have Aunt Rich and Aunt Sue. Uncle Rich is Rich Swan. Aunt Sue is Sue Young. They're our aunt and uncle. I actually got to ride in a car with Rich Swan for like 11 hours.
Oh, wow.
And everyone, you know, asked the typical question of, well, like, how much wrestling did you guys talk about? And my answer was none. We just talked about music and had a blast and just took turns playing different songs and hanging out. Dude's great. So at that point, he became our uncle. And basically, they're the parents of a New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania-based Young, Dumb, and Broke. So I guess that even puts them in our family tree. And one of their members' name is Tony Tiger, and I think he's related to an actual tiger. So there's a tiger in our family tree, if you really want to think about
it. That's not on Joe Exotic's farm, by the way.
I was going to say, so that might put Carol Baskin in our family tree as well. I hope not, because she'll probably try and feed us to her tigers.
That's a possibility. And then the Lost Boys, obviously, is you and Adam Slade and Levi Everett and Hoodfoot. And who am I leaving out?
Yep. So basically, we have myself, The Deal, Adam Slade, Hoodfoot, R.I.P. Chase Holiday. He's still in our group, even though he's dead.
See you at the crossroads.
Yep, he's in our heart, so he's still in the group.
And by dead, it just means he moved to California. Just so people don't actually think he's dead.
We're still trying to figure out if he's actually dead or not.
Fair.
He's tweeting, but, you know, they might have really good Wi-Fi up in heaven.
And we'll talk about the R.I.P. Chase Holiday show later. But
and then we actually just parted ways with Levi. He decided that, you know, he needs to go down the dusty old trail in his horse and buggy on his own. And we wish him the best and support him in all of his future endeavors. So we actually have started a new campaign called Tough Enough, spelled T-U-F-F-E-N-U-F-F, because, you know, we want to be like the Fed and have our own Tough Enough series, where we are taking video promos to see who will be the new fifth member of the Lost Boys. So if you would like to submit one, just send it to at LostBoys005 on Twitter.
Amazing. Well, yeah, Levi, I mean, he has a lot of barn raising to do.
You get it.
Yeah, I get it. He has a lot of butter churning to do. He doesn't, you know, he, especially in this time of, you know, coronavirus, he, you know, he's needed back on the farm.
Definitely. Yeah. I hope they know about the coronavirus, though.
I mean, I don't know where they find out. He doesn't, I mean, someone handles his Twitter.
I was going to say, has an ambassador, so I think we've reached out to his ambassador and told him to tell Levi,
The ambassador who handles his Twitter has a very good social media game.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe he's reached out to Levi. Hopefully. But talk about the close-knit, you know, group, how you guys have all raised each other's game, how you guys have all kind of evolved. You know, I mean, you guys travel like en masse, like a mofo. You know, I mean, you guys are just everywhere, basically. Every show I go to, and you know me, I'm at a lot of them. There's 10 indie guys there.
Yeah, man, you're making towns too, brother. I saw your list before Corona. You were killing it.
I was hoping to.
But, yeah, basically, you know, our motto is we're not here for a long time, just a good one. So we got to make them towns. We go hard or go home, and we ain't got no home. So we travel as much as we can, try and get on as much as we can, and wherever we can get on, we just do hood rat shit with our hood rat friends.
Now, talk about your wrestling persona, because you're a little different than most. You're obviously the Natterday Saint. You incorporate natural light into all of your matches, as one does, as really all wrestlers should, frankly.
I totally
get it, and it the crowd love it, especially, you know, the shows I've been to, especially SUPs, the SUP crowd loves you. Just absolutely has adopted you completely as the Natterday Saint, and but you can actually wrestle a little bit too. I hate to break the fourth wall here, but you can actually wrestle a little bit. but you also know how to have fun as well. How do you work that balance? How do you know when to turn it on and off? How do you know when to be more of an entertainer, when to be more of a wrestler? And talk about your persona.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just me out there. I wouldn't even say I'm me turned up to 11. I'm this dumb, obnoxious dude in real life. Like I said, I'm not here for a long time. I'm just here for a good time. I don't know if I'm old in the wrestling world. I started when I was 24. I'm 26 now. I don't know how that is for professional wrestlers, honestly, because I see some of these 16-year-old kids going crazy. And I realized the wear and tear on my body from my former careers, be it, you know, tumbling and cheerleading or playing football, pole vaulting, all that has beat me to shards already. So I figured if there was a way that I can entertain a crowd without abusing my body more than I have to, that would be, you know, best case scenario. Also a perk of, you know, doing it, I get to drink beer and have fun while wrestling. If I ever do need to pull out, you know, super serious professional wrestler, I can. I had, you know, a pretty good showing against Jonathan Gresham a couple months back at Paradigm Pro Wrestling. I've got to wrestle some other awesome up-and-comers where I have to turn on the switch a little bit more, like Blake Christian.
That was a hell of a match, by the way. I was there for that. You can wrestle. I mean, I was like, my boy can work.
Nah, at the end of the day, I only hit like 5 moves still. You just got to place them to, you know, make it look like you actually do something, but just let the other person dance around you. But, yeah, like I said, I try and find any way possible just to entertain the people, because at the end of the day, that's what I'm there for. I find it so cool and humbling and amazing when I get an email from Pro Wrestling Tees saying someone bought my shirt, or someone comes up to me at a live show, not even to buy my merch, but just to say, you know, you're awesome, you're the natty fucking daddy, and anything like that. Just hyping me up. I love attention, and the fact that people are willing to give it to me is utterly amazing.
Now, I've seen you in AWE as well. You've been picking up a lot in Atlanta, and you recently relocated to Georgia. How has it been since the move? And you know, how's your adaptation to AWE been?
Yeah, so definitely, there's a lot of peaches here in Georgia.
There are.
Fact, yeah.
A lot of boiled peanuts.
Definitely a place. It's made the drives a little bit longer, a little bit more lonely. But, you know, I'm still looking for people to hop in the car with me anytime I can. But picking up a little bit southern shows like this, I wrestled for AWE way back before they were combat wrestling for a couple months. And then just recently when I moved down here, I re-upped with them, and I've been wrestling for them. I think the crowd's been liking me so far, and now I don't think they like me as much because I am partnering up with V. Kenway a little bit. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's trying to get the bag, and that's what I'm here for. So if I get the bag, I get whatever I want. So we're going to put the money in the bag.
How has Georgia been treating you?
Pretty good. Weather's nice. We don't have winter down here.
This is true.
There were like 3 days total this entire time where, you know, it got to 32 degrees. But it's been awesome weather. I just bought a pool. So I should be, you know, getting that built for me soon. That'll be fire.
Now, you coronavirus has also hit you pretty hard. I know the last couple weeks or so, you had some big plans, Mania Week. You were putting on your own show, in fact. And I put show in finger quotes because it wasn't really your typical show, but it was still going to be a fun show. But you also had some other plans during Mania Week. What bookings did you have Mania Week that you missed out on? Talk about your show a little bit and talk about what you had, you know, planned for the last few weeks and the upcoming couple weeks.
Yeah, so a couple things that, you know, I'm bummed I missed out on, like everybody. I was booked for Nick Iggy's Dad Joke Jamboree.
Oh, man.
I was one of the Dad Joke competitors. I would tell my joke on here, but I gotta save it in case, you know, he gets to run again.
Sure.
Then I was also booked for the Crux Damn It, Carrie, Not Again, or whatever that show was named. And I was in a Lost Boys versus IFHY with special guest referee Mouse, in a winner wins Mouse's love match or something like that. And then I was the head booker of a show that I was putting on, called Lost Boys Present Airbnb Wrestling. It's not customs, it's Chase Holiday's memorial show. And
it's not customs. Let's repeat that. It's correct. Not customs.
It was not customs. It was Chase Holiday's memorial show. There were some great matches on that card. Some of them were the bunk bed tag team gauntlet match, where basically there was a set of bunk beds that the competitors had to sit on until it was their turn in the match. There was the God damn, these chops sound really loud in the garage match between Calvin Tankman and Ben, Bastard Cassidy.
Oh man, the garage would have been, garage chops sound, oh my god, I can't even imagine the acoustics in a garage for chops.
Yeah, that's why we wanted it. We had the, what else? We had the bathroom death match with no blood because blood is gross. That was the name of the match.
My daughter would love that because she hates blood.
Yep, same. Grosses me out. We had the half bath match. Half the bath, twice the fun. then we had the backyard reverse battle royal scramble where competitors start outside the pool. Last person to enter the pool wins.
It's amazing.
And then the final match was... Oh, we also had a Nick Iggy's bedtime dad joke gauntlet, featuring his new book. If you haven't gotten it yet, definitely get it.
Oh, he talked about it on the show. Yeah, definitely need to.
There is no punchline. It's a great book. I bought a copy myself. Then I actually put myself in the main event because I was the booker.
Yeah, Dusty.
It was called The Booker Faces the Most Over Person That Shows Up match. And basically, whoever was the most over person to show up for our show, I was going to wrestle. And I'd probably put myself over in it because, you know, I'm the booker, so I got to stay strong. But that was basically the card for the most part. There might have been a couple other matches just because there were probably a couple more rooms that weren't in use. And, you know.
There's a foyer involved probably and a mud room.
Yep. The goal was to run a match in every single room in the Airbnb. We had about 50 people booked for this show.
Jesus Christ.
And Kick-Ass Rebecca, Mouse's wife,
yep,
was not excited about it because we had booked 50 people.
I'm sure.
She thought we were going to get kicked out of our Airbnb and charged $1 million. Which may or may not have happened, so Corona may have saved us a lot of money.
This is true. Corona probably... It may have been a God thing.
Yeah.
But speaking of your ideas, you are known for some of your half-baked ideas. And for some of the wild shit you come up with, fire away some of your crazy half-baked ideas for the audience here.
Yeah, so I've always pitched to everybody I ever see who's a promoter, and they roll their eyes at my awesome idea of the Ring Crew Battle Royal. Basically, doors open, fans come in the venue. I always imagine SUP for some reason, because I feel like SUP is the venue for this. Doors open, there's no ring, it's just an empty place. It looks like we're going to have, you know, a barroom deathmatch tournament. But we're not going to do that because blood is gross. All of a sudden, they hear the bell ring, ding, 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 and then the door opens. Then people start carrying in ring posts. They're, you know, saying, excuse me, walking by people. They're all wearing Nexus armbands because, you know, you can probably get a good chunk of those on Amazon or eBay for really cheap. And every competitor is wearing it. But as they're setting up the ring, they actually start fighting. They're brawling while they're setting up the ring. Ring is getting set up. Finally, ring is almost ready. Referee then has to check to make sure the ring is up to standards and specifics. So, you know, he'll hit the ropes, he'll make sure everything's tightened, cables, all that. And then once the referee gives the go-ahead, everybody's allowed to slide in the ring and start eliminating people. Last person over the top rope wins. Battle Royal.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So,
if anybody wants to book that, I give you my wholehearted support. I just ask to be booked in it. Because it is the greatest idea of all time, and people should do it. I also try and come up with wrestling characters for promotions. So I tried to create a character for Bizarro Lucha. He would be a combination between Curry Man and Master Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And his name would be Fo Manchu, where he wears a hat to the ring. You know, he comes out, he's also hot, he's also spicy.
Sure.
He's also pretty delicious. It's Fo Manchu. He takes off his hat and there's a bowl of pho on his head. It's a mean dance. And then the mask also has a Fu Manchu, because, you know.
Obviously.
He knows a lot of Master Splinter's moves. He might even have a bow staff, because why not?
Obviously.
And, you know, I think him and him alone could take out all of Magnanimous's creations.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, BP4, you have some new merch out, including a prayer candle that is a must-have on the independent wrestling merch desirable list. Tell us about some of the merch you've got.
Yeah, so I have a long list of very different merch and very normal merch. I have two new t-shirts up on Pro Wrestling Tees. I will also have them in my possession once, you know, Corona's over and I can actually see people at shows. That is my Jushin Thunder Lager t-shirt and my Let There Be Natural Light Natter Day Saint t-shirt. The same Natter Day Saint photo is on my prayer candle. Because in times like this, prayer is important.
This is true.
I have my own wrestling buddies, because when I was younger at my babysitter's house, she had the NWO Macho Man Randy Savage wrestling buddy that is where I practiced a lot of my wrestling moves.
Oh, I practiced all mine on my Ultimate Warrior one. That thing was like, that thing never left my side.
Yep. So I definitely, I took a lot of bumps off my bump card bumping for Macho Man. But then he took his fair share as well. So I figured out once it was possible to get my own wrestling buddy that I had to have my own.
Yeah.
So I have that. I usually have them at shows, or you can go to, I think it's Superfun 3000, if I remember off the top of my head. You can go to their Instagram, and they have a link to my page as well where you can buy them online. I obviously have koozies. I have knitted hats that my grandmother made. It is beer cans and crocheted fabric. I don't know what you use to crochet. I'm not a crocheter.
That's adorable.
But it has legitimate beer cans in it as well. Then, you know, like I said, koozies, 8x10s, all that fun jazz. I have a Patreon for the Lost Boys. Go check that out. I think it's Patreon Lost Boys 005.
And what are the things people can get on this Patreon? Because you told me the story, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so starting at the low, low price of $1, you can support us. And $1 lets Hoodfoot hold a dollar, where you will get photo evidence of Hoodfoot holding your dollar. For just $3, you get all the previous tiers, and you get to buy me a beer. So I will send you video or picture evidence of me drinking a beer that you bought me.
Wise investment.
And then I think it's for $5, you get to buy Adam Slade a game of pool, because he is a hustler and he is the deal. And he's as bald as a cue ball. So you get to buy him that, and you get to buy me a beer, and you get to let Hoodfoot hold a dollar for just $5.
This is genius stuff. This is absolutely genius stuff.
Came right out of this noggin, and probably a couple 10-20 beers.
Before we go, tell the story of when you got your hair lit on fire.
Mouse from Mouse's Wrestling Adventures on IWTV, use code Mouse, decided that he wanted to run a show.
Which included the Tom Hanks Memorial Battle Royal, by the way.
Yes.
Even though definitely. Tom Hanks had not been stricken with coronavirus, nor was dead at the time.
Out of all the matches on the card, that was definitely one of them.
That was one of them.
And I'd always joked about wanting to fight Too Tough Tony, and also wanting to fight Madman Pondo.
Why would you joke about that?
Because did it not end up amazing?
It ended up amazing, but that's not something that I would voluntarily want to do.
So basically, Chase had some of the same aspirations, and us both being part of the Lost Boys, Mouse caved and gave us Bakugan, Bakugai Jin, whatever their name is, in a tag match. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot that went into it. Basically, we just beat the shit out of each other for 10 minutes or however long the match went. And at the end of the 10 match, I turn around after checking on Chase because Madman Pondo smashed his balls with a cinder block and a sledgehammer. I turn around and all of a sudden my head's lit on fire. From watching the video, it looks like Too Tough Tony poured some Bacardi on his hand, lit his hand on fire, punched me in the head, and then the flame transferred from his head to my head. And I went flame on, and it was the longest, like, 35 seconds of my life that really lasted about 2 seconds. And things that went through my head of, oh my god, I'm gonna die, holy shit, I'm gonna burn this place down, and oh my god, my mom's gonna yell at me.
Now, I mean, your hair, what was the end result? Because your hair, I saw a few days later, was still relatively intact.
So, it just singed the top. I smelled like Bigfoot's dick. So, I went to the hairdresser, and I had them cut a good chunk of it off. And they thought I was joking when I said I got my hair set on fire. Until they started cutting my hair, and they were like, why is it all melted together? And I said, because I got my head set on fire. I showed them the video, and they were really confused, and then cut my hair and politely asked me to leave.
All right, I think we'll close with that. BP4, how do people find you?
You can find me across social media. You can find me on Facebook. Instagram is Bradley Prescott IV, because I'm not smart and I don't put all my social medias as the same tag. You can also find me on Twitter at Natty, NATTY underscore LIGHT underscore HW. Like I said, I'm not an actual intellectual, so I wasn't smart enough to make it all the same so people would easily find me. I thought I'd make it really complicated and kind of an adventure to find me.
BP4, thank you so much, my friend. It's been an entertaining show. I appreciate it, man.
I hope this is definitely one of your podcasts.
This is one of my podcasts. This is one that exists. No, this has been a great ride, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, my guy.
Thanks. On Place to Be Podcast 546, JT and Scott welcome first-time guest Sean Kidd to review and discuss the 92190 MSG House Show. On Main Event 146, Scott, Nate, and Steve book a one-night version of WrestleMania 36 and back to 2002 for one of the worst shows in TNA history. Scott and Dr. G will return with the NWA Saturday special with a look at New Year's Clash 2019. Greg, Jenny, and Tim in back with episode 13 of Doc and WCW in which they discuss Battle Bowl. Row 1, Seat 1's newest episode have Tiffany and Sean and myself to discuss the impact of independent wrestling and coronavirus on our lives. The Special Relations are back with Episode 6, featuring guest Jennifer Smith's underrated WrestleMania, her happy place, and live watch of her favorite match. Check out the Pop feed with great shows that include the Glenn Butler Hour podcast, Hour Spectacular, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, The Great Debate, Marvel Age, and so much more. The Jenny Position feed has Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. The North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosaro and Jed Campbell, is a new home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and more. We've kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCWmatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. On our social media pages, the greatest sports logo tournament of 2020 is going on. Like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Be sure not to forget placementnation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on the topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent, SmackDown, and Fox Report, The Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. Don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And if you do want online shopping at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of placementnation homepage and use placementnation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps us out with no cost to you.